This year's Lenten campaign of 40 Days for Life is now in its fourth week. People have been participating in cities around the world, and so far international organisers know of more than 350 babies that have been saved. In Sydney, vigils have been running from 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. every single day in Surry Hills outside the Preterm Foundation, with overnight adoration on weekends. As usual, there has been a fair amount of heckling from passers-by, but an even greater number of graces from God. This Sunday, 40 Days for Life in Sydney takes on a slightly different dimension with the marking of the International Day for the Unborn. Joining us now on the line to tell us more is the Campaign Director of 40 Days for Life in Sydney and Executive Director of Family Life International Australia, Paul Hanrahan. Paul, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Jason.
Well, to start us off, could you tell us what exactly is happening this Sunday to mark the International Day of the Unborn?
Well, it's actually the Day of the Unborn Child, it's called, and it coincides with the Feast of the Annunciation. The 25th of March is obviously 9 months before the birth of Christ, at Christmas we celebrate that. So we recognise the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing God's intentions for her to become the mother of God incarnate. And so it's also the incarnation of Christ. He became man when she gives her fiat, her acceptance to God's intentions, then God becomes man in her womb. Let it be done unto me according to thy word, she says. So it started in El Salvador in 1993, but it was made popular, I suppose, in 98 in Argentina by President Carlos Menem, who was interestingly a convert from Islam to Catholicism and who made it a national day. And after that, it seemed to take off around the world, and in many places now, that day is particularly celebrated as the Day of the Unborn Child. So if we recognise from the moment of conception that God became man in the womb of Mary at that stage, and of course Mary went immediately or with haste to the hill country to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child. So the baby in the womb of the Blessed Virgin was very new when she arrived there, and yet that resulted in the sanctification of the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. The child in my womb leapt for joy at the sound of your word, says Elizabeth to Mary. So that's all what's behind that, Jason. So it's in these days where abortion is so widespread and seems to be so acceptable, we need to bring people back to some basic realities. And in the Catholic faith and in the Christian faith, people of goodwill, they all will recognise that.
Okay, so what exactly will you be doing in Sydney to mark this day?
So we start with Mass at the Cathedral at 10:30 a.m, which is the usual high Mass at St Mary's Cathedral, sung Mass, which finishes about midday. And then we'll have the Angelus, and a procession will follow. So we assemble outside the steps of the Cathedral. There'll be a police escort where we will then proceed along College Street at the side of the Cathedral, up to State Parliament House. We stop at the State Parliament House and we recite the litany of Jesus in the womb of Mary. And we also then have a short address by Chris Meaney, who's the director of the Life Marriage Family Office in Sydney. And we sing the Australian National Anthem and proceed then back down Macquarie Street and through Martin Place and along Castlereagh Street to Market Street, back up Market Street towards Hyde Park and across Hyde Park to the Cathedral. So that all takes about a bit over an hour, and we're back at the Cathedral for a benediction at 1:30. Bishop Julian Porteous will be saying the Mass and giving the benediction and leading the procession.
So how many people did you have last year, and how many people are you expecting this year?
The last few years we've had around about 2,500 people. It's always hard to estimate exactly. And but it's about that number. We can tell because the cathedral holds 3,000 people pretty well seated, and the cathedral's been full. So it's 2,500 to 3,000 people. And we would hope to get that sort of number again this year, but are hoping then to be able to build on that number in future years and start to make this grow so we get substantial numbers in future events.
And if somebody's sitting at home and maybe they are tempted to go to a family barbecue or something on Sunday or sleep in, what would you say to them to encourage them to come?
I'd say get up out of bed. And in the first place, people need to be, going to Mass on Sunday. 10:30 is not that unreasonable to be able to get to the city and get to Mass.
It's not.
And so I would think anybody that's going to join in our procession is going to be a regular Mass goer in any case. So I don't think it's going to be that difficult for people to realise the importance of it. And the other thing is, given that now we're seeing attacks on marriage and family from all angles, the promotion of, euthanasia as a right and bills being proposed and put up in state legislatures and the federal parliament, with attacks on marriage by way of same-sex unions and other attacks on marriage, these are all result from the diminished understanding people have of man from the moment of conception. So if it's okay to kill 100,000 newborn babies in the womb in Australia, why isn't it okay to kill a few elderly and infirm people and people that have outlived their usefulness? You know, that utilitarian approach, and that's the problem. So we need to actually make people aware, firstly, of these horrors, and we need to let them know that there is a strong Catholic community who oppose these types of things and who stand for life.
And Paul, it's always such a pleasure and so inspiring to speak to you. Maybe I can ask you one last question, and that is, could you share with us some of the high points of 40 Days for Life so far this year?
Well, the high points, I suppose, would have to be the turnarounds. We've had two turnarounds that we know about this year. In the middle of 40 Days for Life also, we've received photos of a baby that was a turnaround from not the 40 Days campaign, but late last year, August, September, I think. We met mum and dad outside the abortion clinic. Their baby was born on the 9th of March, and they've sent us photos. And they've asked us to share and spread those photos around so that they can help others. Now, that's remarkable. They told us if it wasn't for our presence outside the door of the abortion clinic, they wouldn't have their beautiful little girl. That sort of thing is obviously inspiring when you get to see it. But there are thousands of turnarounds, quite possibly, we don't know about. God distributes the graces where he wills. There might be people that never turn up at an abortion clinic, that the grace from the people standing there in prayer and often in pouring rain and other difficult conditions, 6 a.m. in the morning, that's a difficult condition, you've got to get to the city. And the fact that there are people that do those things, that will actually get themselves to the city and stand on the street for 2 or 3 hours from 6 a.m. and also that they'll finish work and go there and do another 3 hours perhaps in the afternoon, those types of things are inspiring and uplifting. If you don't see a big crowd of people in those at those times of 40 days, like you do at the opening and closing hours, we had 400 people at the opening. That's uplifting. It's certainly inspiring. We expect that sort of number or more for the closing hour on the 1st of April. So there are a lot of high points, but at the end of the day, the fact that there are so many committed people and people who give up a lot of their time and who make this sacrifice on a regular basis, that's inspiring to me, that there are such good people who commit to this and who do the hard yards, if you like. It's probably easy to come when there's 400 people and process with a police escort. It's pretty hard to stand there with 2 or 3 people and get abusers going past and get told you're crazy and all the rest of it. That's a bit tougher, and to keep doing that week in, week out. So I guess they're the things that inspire me.
Absolutely. And by the way, there is still a few more blank spots on the calendar, isn't there, in the 1.5 weeks before Palm Sunday?
Yeah, look, I think at a future time in Australia's history, in the world's history, people will look back on this time and understand the horror of abortion. And they'll want to know where you were or their grandparents or parents. Did you participate? Were you part of this culture of life, this move to change and to re-Christianise our culture? So, yeah, get in on the act. Be part of real Catholic action. I think that's how it is. And I would like to see a lot of people supporting this. And the more people that do support it, the more the people that are lukewarm start to sit up and take notice and start to think about these issues.
Absolutely. Well, Paul Hanrahan, Executive Director of Family Life International Australia, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Jason.